everyone. Welcome to Limitless Radiocast, episode 111. Chad and I are hanging out with our good friend Logan Mueller today. He has been with East Coast Martial Arts since he was 9 years old. In his 20s now, he is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt under Chad Kuhn. We get into some awesome organic conversations, some old school stuff from when he started and from where it is to now. So you guys, throw those headphones on, turn that volume up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this show is also being brought to you by Global Auto Detailing, located in North Canton, Ohio. They have interior services, exterior detailing services, complete detail services. You can get monthly memberships. You got to check these guys out. They are great at what they do. Warpath 55, located in Massillon, Ohio. Lanky Fight Gear. OldBonesTherapy.com. Thomas Webb of DeHoff Realtors. Candry Law LLC. Magic City Brewing Company. M&H Beans Coffee Company. Ronald E. Butler Tax and Accounting LLC. Limitless Tape. Listen, guys, these are our sponsors, and they help us tremendously each and every week do this show. So we ask you guys to support them as much as they support us. Now enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Wow, yeah, totally lost train of thought there, as sometimes I do. Anyway, everyone, man, I hope you guys are doing well out there. Can't appreciate you guys more than ever. And actually, I'm gonna do some shout outs, man. I want to thank Thomas Webb of DeHoff Realtors for really supporting Chad and I to do this show each and every week. He's really been a huge supporter. He's helped us out financially, sponsorship material. We're always going to shout him out. And also want to shout out some good friends over at Global Detailing, located in North Canton, Ohio. They do detailing, auto detailing, both inside the car, outside the car, full detailing, all kinds of stuff. Check them out, guys. The stuff will be in the bio. You can get to them. Go check them out. They'll do a great job. But with that said, without further ado, you've heard us talk about this young man many times on this show. It's a great honor and privilege. He's been a mentor to me. And I know some people are going to be like, wait, there's a huge age difference here. But this is the thing you guys got to think, people. It doesn't matter how old someone is. If you can get knowledge and wisdom from somebody, then you should absorb it and use it and accept it and appreciate it. So with that being said, we're hanging out with our good friend, Logan Mueller. He is your second degree belt, I believe, right? In karate, or third degree?
Fourth.
See, I'm totally, fourth. I should have asked that question before. Yeah. So he's a fourth degree black belt in karate. He's also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. He teaches youth jiu-jitsu. He teaches karate. He does a lot of other things. He's a great young man. We're so happy to have you, Logan, have this opportunity. You know, we talk about you a lot actually on the show, and other people talk about you. So now you're here to defend yourself, right? So thanks.
I know, right? Thanks for having me on.
For sure. Definitely. Finally.
I've just been throwing you off your game today, Terry.
I know. I just, it's just that time. I don't know why. I just was like, just kind of going with it. This is what happens. I'm just a very organic, free flow person, and a lot of things pop into my brain. Right, Chad?
Yeah, I guess so. Once the red light is on, you just, you know.
It's that stage fright happens.
Maybe sometimes. Maybe we start as soon as we log on, the red light comes on, and then you can edit that out.
That I can. Yeah.
And then you can just flow. We could just flow into it instead of saying, are you ready?
Right. Because every time I'm the only one that's never ready. Like, yeah. I ask the guys this every time, our guests, I'm like, you guys ready?
I'll start asking you.
I say the guest and Chad should be asking you, Terry. Terry, are you ready to start recording?
Yeah, that's where we'll start.
Every time. So Logan, 24 years old, man, started at East Coast Martial Arts. And actually, this whole time, everybody, Chad, he's been under Chad Kuhn, and he started when he was 8 years old in the program. He's been there to this day. Very phenomenal, very sponge-worthy mind of growing, and he absorbs everything. So how's training
going,
man?
That's what they say, at least.
That's what they say.
It's been going good.
Yeah.
It was very surreal a couple of months ago when Chad had promoted myself, Tim Stinson, and Russell all at the same time. But
to brown belt.
Going good so far. To brown belt. Yeah.
Good.
But
yeah, that's good. It'd be a surprise, be a surprise, right? I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people expected Timmy to get his brown belt pretty soon, you know, but I mean, you guys are right there. And, you know, it took me a little while talking to the other high ranks and stuff. It's like, oh, I could throw three stripes on Logan and make him a four stripe and then promote him in 4 months, 6 months, whatever the case is, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're there, you put the time in and you teach well and all that stuff. So let's just do it. You might be a brown belt for a little bit, but
that's fine.
You know, being, I mean, you're young, you're 24 mm-hmm. to be a brown belt at 24, but again, you've put in the work. And for me, the learning curve is less. You know, it took me 14 years to get my black belt, when we're going to have guys getting their black belts in maybe 8 to 10 years, but depending on them and the time they put in. So for me, I have to think of this as your journey, not mine. Like, I was a brown belt for 6 years. That's not your fault, you know? So, you know, some people are really hard on rank. Some people are a little more lenient. And I feel we have a very in the middle of the road where our guys are still tough. But I don't expect you to be more than you are either. You know what I mean? Like, some guys want, when you're a purple belt, they want you beating black belts, which you're going to have some guys like that.
Sure.
But that's not everybody. And again, I've said it a million times, I'm not going to compare you to Terry or, you know, it's not fair. You're in your own journey, and
I mean, we've talked about this on the show many times, Logan, you probably heard it, but Trace is, he's a really good blue belt. To be quite honest, he's a good young.
He's all right.
He's all right. I won't give him too much credit now.
Yeah. The only one we haven't brought on the show to defend himself ever.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
I don't think that's happening.
Oh, Trace,
not yet. You gotta,
if you thought this was.
Yeah. Maybe when you get to purple off. Belt, Trace. But yeah, you're not going to compare. I'm not going to be compared to him. I mean, come on. Like, there's a huge age difference. There's a huge learning curve. There's a huge amount of time putting on the mat and ability and that kind of stuff. And I think that goes into every person's journey being ranked and in their position. I mean, look, you know, we make fun of myself and throughout the time, but I'm always asking questions. I'm one of the only people in the class that ask questions out loud.
I wish more people would, you know, I really do.
I just feel, and I think it's a maturity thing. Because you're still like, sometimes people are like, oh, I want to be in the back of the class and not raise my hand. You know, instead of being the person in the front of class and going, I don't care if you look at me like I'm an idiot, because right now I am an idiot. That's why I'm asking this question. I'm not really an idiot, but you know what I mean? And Logan, you've seen this. I mean, look at when you taught the other night, and Chad, I know you stepped out. Logan did an amazing job teaching on Wednesday night. It was phenomenal. It was great because it brought a lot of, we did perimeter work, work going around arm bar, straight arm bar stuff that really in your wheelhouse of the planting, straight arm bar, all that good stuff. But, so I think of people asking questions in there, and I was like, man, there's a lot of questions people could be asking here. Now, I didn't ask them, and I waited, and no one did. And there was a lot of, you know, newer white belts in there, but I think getting comfortable in jiu-jitsu, because the intimidation of walking through the door, being this, you don't even have to be shy, I guess. It's just like, it's intimidating, you know, like to walk through that door. So I think that's
it is definitely like one of the things that sort of translates between, you know, the martial arts program and the jiu-jitsu is like, nobody really asks those questions. So like, it's not just a jiu-jitsu specific thing. There's like a lot of like young children who have very, you know, active minds that are like constantly thinking about things that just, they just don't ask those questions. And I reiterate a lot of times to them, it's like, hey, I'm not going to be mad if you ask me like a really good question. But if you ask me three times to go like get a drink of water, that's going to annoy me, right?
Sure,
but like, if you're asking like important questions that are, you know, trying to help you understand the position better, I'm not going to be mad. Like, I will answer thousands of those if you give them to me.
100%.
But you really, you just don't see as many people asking those questions until, you know, they're in the middle of a role for jiu-jitsu.
True.
It's like, well, hey, how do I do this? And it's like, well, when we were training it last week or even today, you know, you should have been drilling it more.
Yes.
Like you're not going to learn the position drilling it twice. Like, I understand if you're brand new to the position. Like, if we're finally talking about half guard and you've never done half guard before, your first day of training should be drill, 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 until you're like, okay, maybe now I have some questions about it. But the one thing you shouldn't do is, as soon as, you know, we break, hey, go and train with your partners, Ray said, go, boom, raise your hand. Hey, Chad, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Pete, I don't know. How do I do this?
Yeah.
Hey, You didn't try
You didn't try
the move. Like, you're not going to, like, I can't do the move for you.
Right.
Yeah, I can walk you through the move, but it's going to be better if you try and make the move work, and then 5 minutes later say, "Hey, I'm trying this. It's not quite working. Can you show me where I'm going wrong?" That's a much better learning experience for the student than just saying, "Hey, can you show me the move?"
There you go.
Yeah, you're good.
No, you're 100% right. I was just thinking of this as Logan was explaining that, Chad. You may know this already, but actually Logan came up with this awesome, I don't want to say it's new because someone out there is going to be like, oh, this isn't new, but it was
really
sweet.
I meant to talk with him about it the other day.
Oh, did you? Perimeter drill, like getting into perimeter, underhook, you know, rotate, or not underhook, but overhook, pinching the elbow, going around to get like that Kimura lock and to, you know, get that backside, but almost like an ankle lock where kind of leaned forward. And Logan, you could probably explain it better than I can, where you take that elbow, their elbow, and kind of tuck it underneath your armpit and then like twist from the top.
Yeah,
it's easier so, to show versus obviously verbally.
We had started in the knee on belly position, and I was talking about, you know, different options that we have. You know, we can windshield wiper our legs to the other side. We can perimeter around. Those were the two options I gave. And I said, okay, well, maybe this time, you know, we're going to feed the arm under. Like instead of clamping over top, we'd get an underhook, right? Then we go to the straight arm bar, or maybe we finish the perimeter and go to a Kimura lock. And it was off of the reverse grip Kimura lock instead of like your traditional one. So you feed it the other way. And then I was just slipping my elbow over top, almost getting like a footlock grip and just slowly torquing it.
Yeah.
So that was just something that I was messing around with Trace and I hit it and I was like, holy crap, I got to show my dad. And I went over and I was like, hey dad, watch this. And I did it on Terry and he was like, what did you just do?
It's nice because you don't have to move
tight.
You don't have to fight as, I don't say fight as much, but you know, you get a Kimura lock, someone's trying to keep, they're trying to reach their belt, their gi, whatever, to keep you from pulling that, you know, Kimura lock back to bend that arm back and manipulate the elbow and the shoulder. When it's in the pocket there, it's almost, you feel like it's all shoulder. It's like just more of a shoulder lock than it is that bending that, you know, elbow forearm back. You like, you can just move a little bit. And obviously bigger guys, you know, with bigger like chest, barrel, whatever, can grab that and it's so tight. And after doing it a couple of times, I'm like, ooh, okay. the trick is being able to get, not lose your balance and get that elbow into the pocket, which can be done, obviously, you know, but I wanted to bring that up. I thought it was very cool because I like this stuff. Like I told you the other night, Chad, some people discount the, what we call basic techniques. And I don't really want to say they're basic techniques. I say they're the huge foundation to what jiu-jitsu is built upon and doing, you know, like, drill it 100 times. I don't care if you know it now, even drill it more and try to get smoother and try to get smoother doing it, you know, and, you know, that's, you know, I got to work with Ron and that's what I was telling him, you know, he's like, I'm not really good at doing this. I said, just keep working it because you're looking now, you know what the move is. You're just looking for smoothness, like trying to do it smooth, you know, so that kind of comes with speed and doing it over and over. Like Logan just said, do as many reps as you can, man. Don't just sit there on the mat and like chit chat. That's awesome to do. And we've said it a million times on the show. There's nothing like sitting with your buddies on the mat, talking about a great story or just hanging out, but also do your reps, man, because you're not going to get any better if you're not. Go ahead.
I think we've been, I mean, you know, we do need to, you know, some guys don't like drilling. I think it's better than it used to be maybe, right? Every now and again, we'll have to have that conversation. But I think our guys, and probably because they don't know any better, but they accept our fundamentals very good, right? We don't have a lot of guys coming in like white belts. I will say, like, hey, I saw this on Instagram. As much as we joke about it, I don't think that happens that often.
Sure, right.
At the lower ranks, you know, once we got some purple belts and they'll be looking at stuff and I saw this, but even Trace, as much as he does jiu-jitsu, and I don't think he watches that much. Trace never comes in and says, hey, I saw this weird thing. What do you think? Trace takes what we teach and he drills it and does it. You know, so once guys get a little higher rank, you know, you might see some that, but you don't, not too much. Do we have anybody doing any crazy stuff?
Again,
unless I show it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And again, it's to the testament of the environment. you know.
Yeah, and when I say crazy, like, what's the craziest thing I would show? The truck, and that's right. Not even that. It's just a somersault. It's just a shoulder roll. Yeah. It's not even that crazy, right?
If anyone out there doesn't know jiu-jitsu and you're listening to this show, awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in. But if you do know jiu-jitsu, trucks are yes, they're hard. He like discounts it. But this is coming from a blue belt to a black belt. Because I'm like, yeah. Wait, which way am I trucking when I'm in that position? And I'm like, oh, crap, I went the wrong way. And the person's looking at me like, you idiot. And I'm like, ah, dude.
The hardest part about the truck is just being comfortable doing a shoulder roll. Like, if you can get comfortable doing a shoulder roll,
that's it.
Maneuvering your body, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah,
a lot of people just haven't tried moving their bodies in that way before since they were a kid.
Yeah, a little too stiff.
Hey, speaking of that, like, how many times? Maybe we don't even talk about it that much about being loose in your movements and don't be so stiff, because I think that's how you get injured. Like, because you're afraid to do it, so you stiffen up so much. To where you tweak your neck, you fall on your face, or you go to do a shoulder roll because you think you know how to do it, but you're so stiff that you end up bending your neck sideways and you're like, oh, I hurt my neck. It's like, you got to relax, man. Like, I understand it's new, you know, so.
Yeah, I don't know if it's afraid is the right word they're doing. Some people are just tense. We've talked a lot about different people being tense, even in our karate program. Like, man. Why are your knuckles white? You don't need to be gripping up that hard, right? Like,
right.
And typically when you're gripping up that hard, you're doing something wrong. You're trying to make up for something. Right.
Right.
But yeah, don't be so rigid, and that's easier said than done.
Sure.
It is. It will come with experience, but
I mean, obviously, Logan, I mean, you were young. So you started at 8. When did you start the jiu-jitsu program?
So started karate at 8 years old. It took me about 4.5-5 years to earn my first degree black belt.
Okay.
Once I earned my black belt, I started teaching. So Mr. Heinemann was like, hey, I want you to start teaching these classes, like helping the instructor that's teaching. I eventually want you to start teaching. So from like a very young age, I think it was about 13 at the time, he was like, hey, you know, we're going to start coaching you up to start teaching. And around that time, Mr. Heinemann had made a couple of comments about, you know, the program in general, where he said, you know, I want all of my instructors for the karate program to be Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belts. And the day he said that, I was in the class.
Nice.
Training. So 13 years old, started Jiu-Jitsu. Now, granted, my dad had been doing Jiu-Jitsu for a couple of years at that point. And I was like, you know, we're going in, Dad. I'm starting. He had some old Atama gi, and I was like, just put it on, we went. So started training jiu-jitsu at 13 14 ish, and so we're in year 11 I think of jiu-jitsu right now.
And you, I mean, technically, and we talk about this, like, you know, East Coast side, Northeast Ohio, not a lot of jiu-jitsu still around that time in the area. Mm-hmm. You know, you started with like Chad would say, get hooked. He'll hooked on your first day and don't know what the heck's going on.
Not quite. We were a little safer when Logan
I was going to say. So that's what I was going to, I mean, because he was younger, obviously, right? I mean, I would think, but the guys were still just, like, you wanted to go in and fight, right? Versus now?
To a point. Well, okay. I mean, it might have been a little harder, but it was still safe, I would say.
Okay. And
one of the things that, you know, I kind of had going for me was 3-ish years prior. So like probably when I was like 10, 11-ish. I had started doing the kickboxing program.
Oh, okay.
And with that, you know, I'd seen a couple of different instructors come through, and eventually it was Pat Schottenheimer who was teaching. And, you know, I was training pretty much, you know, every day we had, it was Tuesday, Thursday at that time, of kickboxing with Pat. You know, Stinson was in there at the time. Alex Poynar was in there. Tyler Feller, a bunch of these dudes who were just, we were just going, right? And when I transitioned into the jiu-jitsu, you know, a lot of those other guys, you know, that group was also friends with a lot of the jiu-jitsu guys at the time.
Okay.
So like, you know, nobody was going to mess with Pat if Pat said, don't mess up Logan. So
those who don't know Pat, and this is a time when Pat was powerlifting and he was very He's a big gentleman, great guy. Love this guy. But at that point in time, he was very strong. Not that he's not strong now, but he was a lot younger than he is now too. So just to point that out there, like, you know, over 6 feet type deal, just a gorilla. So anyway, yes, I can imagine, like, don't mess with Logan, yeah. And Pat says it and you're like, okay, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like to have the respect of, you know, all of these guys from the rip, where it's like, hey, you know, like, we're going to coach you up. We're going to train you. Like, we're just going.
Sure.
So it was, for me, it was obviously very daunting, because it's like, the extent of jiu-jitsu I had was what we do in the karate program, which is very basic jiu-jitsu. To then, it's like, hey, we're learning. We're going. We're going to try and learn as much as we can. We're going to try and get as best as we can in it. So, yes, there were hard days. Because, you know, there was a core group of guys that were just like, no, we're not going to stop training.
Sure.
You haven't drilled enough today. Drill again.
Yeah, drill again. Yeah, keep drilling.
So,
which, and this is, and Chad, you can speak to this more, because obviously you're in your gym a lot. In your time, there's always core people that are kind of always there. Kind of always, like, you know, may have some small time off or whatever, but for the majority, there's a core people. I know a lot of people come and go in your time of seeing it, but there's always core guys that really influence what's happening in a terms of, you know, not teaching. I don't take anything away from you, because I think you're a phenomenal teacher, obviously. But just your opinion, like, have you seen that in your time, Chad? Because I know, Logan, you've seen it, right? There's been like core guys that stick around, like your dad's been around a long time. You know, Stinson came back,
yeah,
you know, myself, you know, I was out for whatever year, these several months and came back, you know, but, you know,
yeah, you see the core guys that have put the time in because of the rank, right? That's how you know who the core guys
are.
As far as, how long they've been there. Right.
Sure.
So if you comes in and you see three or four brown belts walking around, yeah, those guys have put in some time and have been there for a while. So yeah, that's how you tell our core guys. We have five black belts now.
Right.
Obviously that shows right there.
Like, this is kind of for both you guys, obviously, Logan, cause you were so young. You're still very young and coming into the gym. Chad, for you, we haven't talked about this. It's not a huge deal, but this is our show, so listen up, people. how good is the feeling of that, of to come as far as East Coast martial arts and Canton, Ohio has come to go, look, man, we got black belts walking around, legit black belts, like not just ranked.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Legit brown belts, purple belts, you know, that's huge. I mean, I never really.
That's the surreal part for me. Like Logan said, getting his brown belt was very surreal for me, walking around and see last night at Nogi, we had 32 people in class.
Wow. That's so awesome.
It's crazy. And that's not, you know, I would say, what's our average, Logan? 20 people in a class. I mean,
easily
in the, especially in the evenings. I mean, we'll have, you know, noon classes with 15 to 20 people, and 6 a.m. they'll have 10 to 12 people in classes.
Crazy.
So it's nuts.
And for people don't know, how much mat space do we have?
Mat space, we have probably about 4,000 square feet of mats. We have a lot of mats,
which is more than most.
A lot.
Academies, schools,
for sure.
Facilities. Yeah. Most. I'm going to be just honest with everybody out there. That's more than most. And there are times when we can't really do takedowns when we're going to roll because there are too many people taking up the entire mat space and it's just not safe. So we'll, you know, start low, or we'll grip up and, you know, kind of go from there, but we're not shooting double legs or anything. So that's just give everyone an idea who's listening. Like, we have a huge amount of mat space and we have room for you too. If you haven't tried it and you're listening to the show right now and you want to come in and beat me up, by all means, come on. I'd be more than happy to let you armbar me maybe once or twice. After that, that's it.
There's always more room.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's for me, that's the, you know, I can remember, you know, starting when it was one day a week, or then we had got Gi another day, and Mike Broom, Logan knows Broom, that was around for a while. He was my first instructor, and we'd have like maybe 10 people in a class, and Broom would say, how am I going to teach all these people? Right. And now it's like, dude, we have triple that in a class. So, but that's, again, preaching to the choir. That's the atmosphere and the culture that we've continued to grow. And, you know,
And Logan, what makes it,
know, Logan literally grew up in that.
That's
right?
And that's what I mean. Like, I mean, so he grew up, you, I mean, you are a product of that environment of growing up in it, man. You've been around it. I mean, 8 years old, you're 24 now, and I know you're not leaving anytime soon. So it's like, and then I look at this, like I said, in the beginning of the show, I asked Logan a ton of questions. How would you do this? I roll with Logan a ton because he not only teaches me a ton, he's hard on me, but he pushes me in the right way where he's, you know, he's not hurting me. He's putting it to me in a way of getting me better. And I love him for that. It's a huge asset that I think everyone out there should embrace. Don't just discount it because there's a huge age difference, you know, yeah. But, look at how many, like, thinking of the questions now. Well, shoot, at East Coast Martial Arts, we have a ton of rank belts walking around the mats, and or they're drilling at the same time. Like, when Logan's talking about that, him and I train kind of regularly now. When I'm there, we're drilling. Like, we're not just sitting there goofing around. Like, we're drilling. And if someone has a question, Logan can get up and go answer that question. And there are plenty of other people, brown belts and black belts, that are on the mat at the same exact time to help everybody. So that culture has been built. So I know we beat that dead horse all the time on the show, but it's vital for people to understand.
Fact, man. It's a fact.
It's really good.
When I tell people, like, they'll compliment the gym on the atmosphere or whatever, and my response is, I don't know any other way to do it. And it's true.
Yeah.
Just, it's the way it happens, you know?
That's good. We might need a bigger space.
Yeah.
Someday we might need, like, the biggest space on the planet.
Just knock out that back wall.
That's right.
Just take up the next space behind it.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm out driving around and I see, like, a huge building that's, like, for sale or whatever, I'm like, ooh, I wonder if that could be converted into, like, a giant gym.
Is it on Fulton Road?
Yeah, right. It has to be on Fulton.
Right. It has to be Fulton. It's like,
there's no other option.
Right. It's the MO of the gym. And the history of it has never been off that road, has it?
No. Not besides the garage.
The garage, which was, you know, the original setup. Yeah. But still.
Somebody, I don't remember who told me, they were telling me that Fishers, the one on Fulton, that they have a basement that has a separate entrance. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that might be a cool place for a gym.
It would be.
Well, the crazy part is, you know, I don't want anyone to lose their income, their livelihood. Unfortunately, if you're local, you know, Fishers is kind of on the
I think that way out. That Fishers is okay from what I've heard. The one on
so they're consolidating.
The
all one on the Fishers Tusk locations is except the one on Fulton there.
Yes,
Fulton,
that's the only one.
Is the only one that's gonna stay open.
Yep.
For now.
That liquor store is keeping them afloat.
That's what I say every time I drive by that place. Cause, like, the front of the building, there'll be, like, you know, handful of cars, but on the side of the building where you go in, where the liquor store is, there'll be like 50 cars. And I'm like, that place is rocking. Like, people are buying their alcohol, man. But hey, to each their own. That's all good. No worries there. So what else is going on, Logan? Jim's not only thing, man. He recently graduated from college not too long ago.
Yes, I graduated December 2022 with a degree in business administration and a focus in professional selling.
That was his 17th change.
Yes. No, it was my third.
I know. Because you were going to be an engineer, right?
Yeah, started in civil engineering, got like 2.5 years into it. One of our professors was like, hey, just so you all know, like, if you guys design a bridge or a roadway or something and it fails, you guys can be held liable. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm out.
Like, I don't want to do this.
So immediately went to my counselor, was like, hey, I'm switching out of this next semester. Put me in business. And I was like, let's do accounting. Because my grandfather was an accountant. My one uncle is an accountant. I was like, third generation accountant. Here we go. And was not a fan of taxes. I don't know what it was, if it was the teacher or just couldn't understand it. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to switch out of accounting and I'm going to go into just general business. And then with the University of Akron, when you go for a general business degree, you need to have an accredited minor.
I didn't know
And
that.
so they give you a list of like five or six
Sure,
that
that
you
you
can
can
pick
select
from.
from.
Right? It's like, hey, take your pick. And I was like, oh, well, sales seems to be the most, applicable for what I want to do in my life. Let's go with that. Because, if you can't find a job, let's go sell something. So, I decided, I'm going to take the sales minor, ended up loving it, graduated, and here we are on the job hunt.
Nice.
On the job
On the
hunt.
job hunt. I just saw something the other day. Everyone out there, you guys know who Mark Cuban is, obviously, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, super rich guy. They asked him a question and they said, if you lost everything you had, but all you had was $500 and a phone, what would you do? And he was like, it was the greatest question as an adult that I've ever been asked in my life. He's like, I would go get a sales job and triple his income. That's what he said. He was like, I would go get a sales job. And it's amazing to the amount of people that I know. And my wife will go, oh, what do they do? And she's like, in sales, right? Like, she'll joke. And I'm like, no, that they actually are. I was like, that's the majority of it. Seems like it's like the huge, biggest field that people are in now. Like, I'm an engineer, but I mean, there's a lot of people in it, but it's mostly like, oh, you're an engineer, you're not in sales. I'm like, no, like, everyone's in sales. Like,
Lot of
but
stuff to
yeah,
sell.
I
A
know
lot of
there is
stuff
a
to
lot.
sell.
And by nature, what are we by human beings? We are consumers, right? We want to consume
Oh,
as much as
yeah.
possible. If it's not something on social media, I mean, it goes back to, hey, how much clips are you watching to get better at jujitsu instead of just training jujitsu?
All of them.
All of them.
Every single one.
In your time, Logan, because you were young, you
Yes.
still, like, that social media part is, you evolved into that. Like we did, we're older. I understand we've seen some other things, but you really came into that. It's like your generation of the beginning of that social media trend. We've talked about it on the show before. Has it ever influenced your jiu-jitsu at all? To a small portion?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, mostly what I do is,
What we do.
whatever Chad and Pete say, hey, we're
Correct.
doing
Right.
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes I'll be like, hey, I've seen this. Can we talk about this position or something? Not, hey, can we do this crazy cool submission? It's like, is that submission really going to work? It's like, if you're watching like Instagram reels or like TikToks of jiu-jitsu, you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt because there's a couple of factors. One, who's the person who's doing this? Like, who's the one doing the move? Is it like a national championship winner, like a world's title holder, or is it some random guy from Kansas who maybe has a black belt in jiu-jitsu doing it, right?
Sure.
The next is, how plausible is it that this move could be hit in a live role against somebody your own rank? Right. Because, like, if we're just doing these cool, flashy moves to like beat up white belts and blue belts, what's the point? It, if it doesn't
True.
work on somebody who's of your same rank or higher, what is the point in doing that move?
Sure.
So it's kind of hard when there's so much content out there to sort of filter through all the BS and look and see, this is a great example of how to do this move. Do it like this. At the end of the day, ask your coach and be like, hey, Chad,
100%.
what's this? I would strongly advise, not looking at all of those when you're a white belt, because there's already so much being thrown at you in classes that you don't need to go to these external sources to, supplement your jujitsu fill, right?
Watch
Like,
matches instead.
watch
That's what I,
matches.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and
Watch
that's
so
what,
many,
yeah, that's
there's
what you
so many
told me.
good resources that you'll have in your own gym. And, if your gym doesn't have those great resources where they're like, oh yeah, just go watch all these YouTube videos, like that, maybe find a new gym.
Yeah,
But
facts for sure.
so it's just, personally, I don't watch too many. Like, if I'm scrolling through like one of those apps and I see one and I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool, I'll like send it to my dad, or like he'll send me one and we'll just be like, oh, that's cool, let's try it. And then, do we try it? Do we not try it? And who knows?
Speaking of dad, Chad, how many like daughter, son, parent combos have you had outside of, Logan and his dad? And then I know there's one other
Who else is
dad,
there?
Dad, son now.
There's Kirk Bride. Oh, yeah. His kid.
Kirk Bride.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious. It made me think about that as you brought up your dad, Logan, another person that people have heard us talk about many times on the show. Great, great mentor to me as well in teaching and fellow brown belt as his son, which he doesn't like. I'm kidding. He's listening to this right now. And he's just going to be like, ah, he'll just wrist lock me. Like he did Wednesday night. He did get me in a good
wrist lock. Does it all the
time. I know. I was like, you dog. Like literally.
Somebody showed him the dark arts and he just ran with it.
Yeah. Being a cop. Being a retired cop, that probably helps, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
I had made the comment Wednesday, Chad, you were already gone.
Yeah.
Because I showed that like reverse Kimura grip. And I was like, yeah, the Mueller boys, we just specialize in mean moves.
he's not lying.
No.
Because he was talking about like Pat Schottenheimer doing the impaler on somebody. I was Jesus.
Yeah.
And of course, I did trace, but it was the move I did on you. You grabbed the thousand pole.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yes. It's very gentle. Yeah. Very gentle. Yes, very gentle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No. Logan's very nice to me. He teaches me well, makes me learn it, and then makes me feel it, but not to the point to where, you know. Now, don't get that wrong, everybody out there that listen to this show right now. And if you are in our gym and you roll with Logan, or you never have, because he can put it on you, no problem at all.
Yeah.
Without hesitation.
Wednesday at noon class, Tom Tanya came in. And he's like, my God, Logan killed me last night. He's like, he destroyed me. I'm like, oh, that's all right. Builds character.
Yeah.
It does build character. Because, I mean, like, even though I started out at, you know, 13, 14 years old, like, the roles were, like, they were nice, but they weren't nice.
They weren't nice. Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
It's like, hey, like, we're going to go hard.
Yeah.
Like. But like a controlled hard.
Right.
So it was just something that, you know, you get used to or you don't get used to.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that can sort of, you know, change your trajectory of, you know, where you go in jujitsu. Do you stick with it?
And
like, do you accept it and say, hey, you know, like, this is what I want to do. Like, I'm going to, you know, nose to the grindstone and we're just going to drill. We're going to go. Yeah.
And I think we have a good happy medium of that too, where like me and Logan can roll hard. And if somebody came in, saw us doing that, they'd be like, man, those guys are trying to hurt each other or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But you know, as long as we've been rolling, we can control that and still have a good, hard, hard roll, you know?
Yes. 100%. That's what
there's a difference between going hard and trying to hurt your partner.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's going to come with some experience too, you know, because watch some of those white belts.
It takes so long for people to understand. It's like, hey, you know, we can do moves with like a lot of purpose. Like we can be deliberate in our actions and not hurt our partner when we're training.
Sure.
Everybody, like a bunch of white belts, the one thing they do is they like tense up. They're like, ah, the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's how you're going to get hurt, because either you're going to annoy the upper rank that you're rolling with and they're going to crush you, or you're going to accidentally get hurt because you were trying to fight your way out of an armbar or something.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Recently I had one of the newer, younger white belts signed up for a membership and he's like, hey, can I cancel this if I ever need to, because I'm injury prone. I'm like, well, yes, but why are we injury prone at your age? You're like under 20 years old, right? Like he's 18, 19, whatever.
That's the greatest statement I've ever heard.
I know. I'm like, let's look about how we're rolling with each other, you know? Like,
define to me injury prone, because I think we have a problem here if you know that you're injury prone.
Yeah. Let's fix the problem. Let's go back to the root cause here.
Right.
So
I credit Logan to pushing me I think it was this week when we were rolling and you're like, don't quit. Like we had 40 seconds left and was it Tuesday? Yeah. And you're like in my ear, you know, side mountain. You were like, don't you quit on me. Don't you quit. Like, and I needed that because I was frustrated with myself because I've been having, you know, I've had those, like, I'm really sore and I'm tired and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And I was like, oh, it's going to be like drive home, no music night. And then it snapped me out of it because Logan pushed me to finish. And I was tired and I took a break, but I was like, that's what I needed. Like I needed someone to get after me because I know what's in me and I know I can do it. And it's awesome. Like we have that at our gym to an extent, I think most of us upper belts will do it to the younger belts. Like, we'll try to help them. And then we're in each other's ears too. Like, come on, let's go. You know, like Chad, you constantly, we rolled this week. And it was, I love the roll. I haven't rolled with you for a while. And we were going not hard, but like, we were good and
hard physical, enough.
Strong, hard enough. And it was like, you would act like, are you all right? And like, yeah, keep going. And then we were fine. You just keep working through everything. And I was like, this is great. Like, I need these type of, instead of me picking out a white belt and going, hey, you want to roll? And then going, ah, what were you thinking?
Yeah. And you're fighting the whole time.
Yeah. And then I'm like, yeah. Ah, well, they didn't do any moves. I just like needed to get on top and just crush this guy because he's freaking out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just good stuff.
Like, I can accept if somebody has like physical limitations where it's like, oh, hey, I can't, sure. I can't do it. But what I can't accept is somebody mentally giving up. Like, oh, the sure. second you give up, like, you're dead.
Yeah.
Dead in the water.
Yeah.
And like, to me, that makes me not want to, like, as callous as this sounds, like, I don't want to roll with somebody who after, you know, one, like three minutes of us going hard and you're like, no, I'm done. Like, yeah. I'm exhausted. I can't go any further. No, like, you can't. And yeah. guess what? You're going to.
You're going to. Yeah. We're not
you signed up for the whole 6 minutes.
Yeah. I had a story. Like, I don't know if you remember that story I told. Remember Tony Hyde? Mr. Hyde.
I remember Tony.
But. Yeah, so he was rolling. He went hard. Like, mm-hmm. love him. I miss him. He moved away. He was he was the first karate instructor to get a blue belt. I think he was the first one.
Oh, wow.
Or no, you were teaching, right? You were first.
Yeah.
He was the first of the new batch, I guess you would mm-hmm. say. But anyway, we were rolling one night and he would go hard and he was all over me. And I finally swept him and got on neon belly. And he's like, I'm done. I'm like, no. No,
we're not.
We are not done. Yes. We are not done. So yeah, you gotta like, sometimes we have to carry our teammates and push them and just verbally talk to them. Like, you can do this.
Yeah. Be uplifting, pour into them.
Cause just like we get muscle memory of the good techniques we do. You don't want that muscle memory kicking in of stopping or mm-hmm. when it gets tough, we're done. I mean, because that's real. I mean, we know how easy it is to have a bad habit and then fix that bad habit, right?
Yeah.
Gotta Which is go. Super hard.
It takes so long to fix a bad habit.
Yeah.
The old adage I was told when we were growing up in karate was, for every one time you mess up, you have to do it 3 times correctly.
Yep.
To just break even.
Yep.
On that technique.
I remember Mr. Hyman doing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like if you like misstep one thing in like your one self-defense move, you had to do that whole section 3 times to go on.
Yeah. Hey, it's good. Like you guys both said, I have lived in this world of, it's a pet peeve of mine as well, being a coach, coaching sports and seeing a young athlete do something that you know is a bad habit. And you're like, why is no one fixing this bad habit? Oh, that's not, they'll grow out of that. No, they will not, because you've implanted the bad habit. They will do it forever. You know what I mean? Like, you need to restructure that. And by doing it, you have to be invested in them or be willing to push them or change them. And if you don't have that, again, leave, find something else to do, find better coaches, whatever, you know what I mean? But it's funny that we live in a society where it's like, people are like, oh, they'll grow out of that, or oh, it'll change or whatever. And it's like, no, it won't. Like, if I write my name backwards my entire life and someone's like, oh, that you'll grow out of that. No, I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you idiot. Like, no, I'm always going to do it that way because it's a bad habit. And someone let me keep doing it. So don't be that person out there, no matter what you're doing. If it's a job, school, whatever, I don't care what it is, you know, but I forget. I was going to ask you something, Logan. Oh, what's your best story as a young jujitsu practitioner at a brown belt level? What's your best story that you saw on the mat that's super funny that just has never left
you? Oh, easily. So we were at, well, there's two stories. The one I'm not going to tell on camera, but the other one, we were at an AGC in Pittsburgh, and Chad, I know you were there. This I was still a white belt. I think I had like 2 stripes at the time, and so Dustin Ware had always put on these AGCs all the time. Mm-hmm. And there was a stipulation for black belts. It said black belts compete for free. Okay. That was all it was. And there was this Taekwondo second degree that came in and was like, hey, I'm going to compete in jiu-jitsu. And Dustin was like, hey, please don't. Like, was borderline like, begging this guy.
Don't.
Like, don't. And there was like, I don't know how old the guy was that he was fighting, but he was like a younger black belt. Like, late 20s, early 30s, maybe. And he put the dude out. Like, out cold, done. And the dude, like, woke up, and his coach was like, Dustin came over and was like, I told you this was going to happen. Like, I asked you not to, you did it anyway. Next time they put out a flyer for it, it says all Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belts compete for free.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belts. Mm-hmm.
same tournament. There was another kid who was in like turtle and like sitting up a little bit, and his belt had come off, and the other guy grabs the belt, puts it around his neck and like pulls, and I'm like, what is happening?
Like, he just picked up the other kid's belt and used it as a weapon. Yeah, picked up
his belt and like pulled it through his neck, just like put his knee on his back and pulled. I was like, what is happening at this tournament? Dude got DQ'd, and I was like, this is insane.
The first match that Logan was talking about, I just sent you, Terry. I remember. Oh. It's Cameron Knight is who it
was.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yep, yeah, 9 years ago.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. Yeah.
It tells you how much tells you how much jiu-jitsu I've watched. I just processed what match that was in my head.
It's like, it's this one.
Yeah.
You are like a walking encyclopedia though when it comes to like videos and reels and stuff, because this has been your life and your passion.
I watch a few.
Let's be honest.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. He just scratches the surface once in a while.
Sometimes, hey, I'll walk in, like pass him at the front desk, and I like look over and he's like with his leg up on the chair, just sitting there watching some like jiu-jitsu video or match.
Always, every day.
Like, you never take a day off.
Hey, dude, what's going on? Oh, good. Then his head's back down.
Hey, don't forget who's number one's on tonight.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So I don't subscribe to Flow Grappling anymore because I cut that as an expense out.
No, I get it.
I was trying to cut all the expenses out so I could buy my son a car.
How selfish of you, Terry.
I know. Dang it. I need to get my priorities straight.
It's
terrible person. My son, what's he need a car for?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've never been like a big sports guy. It's like I don't just like sit down and like watch the football games. Like, it's hard.
Yeah. I don't anyone anymore.
That, yeah. Anyone that and, like, knows you, Logan, though, that knows jiu-jitsu. This.
It's like, I just don't see the appeal. Like, I get it. Like, if there's like a cool like highlight reel of somebody in jiu-jitsu where like somebody's like, hey, you have to watch this match, like I'll go and watch the match.
Sure.
Yeah. But like most of the times, like, it just makes me mad to watch jiu-jitsu matches.
Yeah. Especially in person.
Oh, Lord. Lord have mercy. Because they're,
is it
they're
frustrate
great.
You from moves, or is it frustrate you from like
lack of technique?
Yeah.
Lack of technique, lack of like adequate coaching. Like, okay, if I hear a coach say something that's like completely off the wall, I'm like, I just sit there and I think to myself, why are you coaching? Like, why was that your brilliant piece of advice you were giving your competitor? Like, I don't know. It's just, and it's frustrating to watch bad jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
Like, it's fine if we're like in the gym training, like, cause we're practicing, trying to get better. I hate watching like bad jiu-jitsu matches. Like, if I go to a jiu-jitsu like tournament and like help coach, I get frustrated. You're if I'm watching. Yeah. So
it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense for individuals that have been around it for a long time and you've had good habits and, you know, instilled.
Well, it speaks to the exposure you've been around.
Correct. You know, yeah, right.
You know,
it's true. It's facts.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I know we brag about it a lot, but
yeah, because I've been at, you know, been at tournaments, and I know the one Logan's referring to that we went to all together, and he'd be like, why doesn't that guy X pass here? And it's like, because he doesn't know, or maybe that's just not their focus. Like, that's, you know, day one stuff for us.
Yeah. Bread and butter, baby.
I know. I've been doing the X pass for 10 years.
Well, yeah, I was going to, there's actually like a video of Logan doing the X pass at like 15.
Nice.
Right, or 14. So yeah,
14,
it's on
15.
Yeah,
so Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
you gonna get in the ring, Matt, compete at Brown Belt?
Oh, no. on officially
after
done
that last one.
Last one. It was the last AGC was a year ago in February.
Yep.
Yeah.
Won one match, lost the other one, and like I popped my knee. And I was just it's time to just be done.
Sure.
I've had a couple of knee injuries.
You've had a couple. You've had surgery on your knees. So.
Yeah. So I've torn my meniscus once, got it repaired, got back training. And then within 3 months, I popped it again. So thankfully, the second time, it's not as bad of a tear. But it still clicks sometimes.
Sure.
But this was my good knee that had popped at the tournament. And it's just I have to wear. I make the joke, I'm held together by athletic tape and medical braces.
Right.
So, I wear knee braces every day training. All my fingers are taped.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I can handle training. It's just, if I train 4 or 5 days a week, the next 3 days, I'm dead.
Yes. Yeah.
So, a lot of people ask me, Logan, why don't you come back to comp class? It's I would love to come back to comp class. But if I come to comp class on Saturday, means I can't train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, there's a
I got to pick one of those days and not.
Yeah.
And Monday and Wednesday, I train with my dad. So I'm not giving up one of those days. So it's Tuesday, but I'm already there on Tuesdays for work. So I'm just going to stay. And, one comp class is enough to hey, where's the ice bath
sure.
for my knees? So
speaking of tape, I'm going to have to start taping my fingers again, Chad, because they're starting to hurt on the regular basis now. And I was this week,
get you some of that limitless tape.
That's right. I was, I taped all the time and then I quit taping, when I came back this year, and then now I think it's to the point, last night I was just, I always have some kind of whatever they call those things, the strength things in my hands all the time. I have the desk and I usually, when I'm watching TV, I have one. And I was my hands are killing me. You think I'd stop doing it.
I was going to say, stop doing it.
You think I'd stop doing it, but it's always I think it's more now of an anxious thing. I just do it. I'll be watching TV. I have this thing in my hand, all the time. I'm working and I have this in my hand, each individual finger thing. And then I have a metal one. That's the, whatever.
It's like your own fidget spinner.
It is my own fidget spinner, man, which I have one of those here too.
Where's that at?
Yeah, it's over here, right over here on my desk. Hey, I'm an odd person. I like jujitsu and all kinds of weird things and listen to classical music at the same time, whatever. That's who I am.
Doesn't sound weird to me, Terry.
I know. You and I fit in the same, we're the same square peg going into the round hole or whatever, round peg going into the square hole. That's why I get along with you so well. Because we have a lot of good interest. That's why I get along with Chad too, because we can talk about all kinds of different things from movies to whatever's out there. Speaking of, I watched Marvels last night.
Did you?
And I know Chad doesn't watch, he doesn't usually watch superhero movies.
No, not much.
I know you do though, Logan, don't you?
I used to.
Once in a while? Okay.
I haven't watched anything MCU related since, what was it, Captain Marvel? I didn't watch that one and anything past that.
Well, good, don't watch it.
Date. Haven't watched it.
Just stay with Captain Marvel.
Because
after I watched it, I was like, all right, cool. That's 2 hours of my life. I'm not getting back. Let me go watch something else. Let me go to bed or whatever. I forget what I did, but
it's dropping the ball. Huh?
I think I came and edited more last night.
Oh, there you go.
I came and edited the podcast more because I was like, you know what? Let me do this. But anyway, here and there.
Just sit there frustrated that you just wasted 2 hours.
I did. I could have been doing this. It's that was kind of dumb and a waste of time, but whatever. Here nor there. I do want to know, man, are you going to get a tattoo or not? Not to put you on the spot.
That is the question. Yeah, I'm all clean, no tattoos yet. I've debated it.
For one of the people that have been in the gym longer than a huge majority of the people,
longer than most.
And I think all those guys have tattoos.
A lot of them.
There's a fair East Coast bit of them that have the logo on them.
I have not.
Logan will be one of the few like myself that would probably want the jiu-jitsu logo and the East Coast logo.
Yeah, that's
right. So you gotta figure that out. So
because I know if I I hate I dislike the look of just like random tattoos everywhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like that's just not how my brain is set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like I would want to get like I want to get a full sleeve.
Right. Right? Yeah.
It's just I am very indecisive when it comes to art.
Don't do a like, full sleeve. Full sleeves are terrible. I mean, listen, Chad and I, we know, like, don't do full sleeves. They're so bad. They're really bad for me.
It's just, I like the look of it, but
don't believe him.
Yeah. I'll never settle on something where I'm like, I like have to like have that.
Sure.
So,
and that's the thing. I mean, you might when you get ordered. If you don't, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean,
I just want to put you on the spot because I know a lot of us have it. And I'm just messing
so remember, up. Logan, my first tattoo, I was 45. So you got plenty of time. Yeah. You got plenty of time.
I got 20 years.
His first tattoo was at 45, and he's going to be 49 here soon. At the end,
not soon.
Here, let me give him till like November.
September
or September. That's right. One day
closer to his birthday the opposite way.
Yes, right, exactly. Let's go the opposite way. However, he has two full sleeves now and leg pieces beginning, so don't let him fool you.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm good.
You went from 45 to 48, and not that I can say much either, because when Chad teased me before, hey, you ever gonna get any more tattoos, because I had a half sleeve up onto my chest. Now I have two full arms and now a half a leg. So there you go. And I'll be 47 in May. So just start now.
Now you're all covered in tattoos.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about it, Logan. You wait until you're 40 and be like, hey, I'm going through midlife crisis. Like Terry.
Yeah, midlife crisis. Let me get some tattoos.
Yes. That's what I chalk it up to be. That's what I tell people now. They're like, wow, you didn't have all those tattoos. I'm like,
I mean, is that better than like midlife crisis by a like sports car?
I think so.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, look,
cheaper.
Man, I could have went and bought like some motorcycle. I know how to ride motorcycles. I used to have one. Could have did that. I said I could have went out and bought a sports car and goofed around. I could have messed around on my wife. I could have started going to strip clubs every day. I could have blew money. Jeez. Could have went gambling. I could have.
He's thought about this.
Right. I was like, I could have done all this bad stuff, but I chose not to do that because I wanted to be
part
real.
Of that plan.
Right. Right. Exactly. I get looks. So when people are like, wow, you really did think about this, didn't you? I'm like, nah, just watch a lot of TV and see what all these other people are doing or
do stories. Not doing.
Yeah. Don't do that. It's bad.
All these
bad mojo.
Vices.
Right. They are bad vices, which, you know, we live on bad vices, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Not most of us don't, but there's a lot of people that we know that do, unfortunately. But so should I ask him, Chad?
What it is.
Do you want me to ask him?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. He's prepared. We talked about it already.
Right. Big question, Terry.
Are you two weeks ago
when you asked for this podcast,
you're not ready for this one.
Oh, you got a second question.
I do, because I knew, and everyone out there was like, "Ooh, what's is Terry going to ask this question? How much does your father mean to you being on the mat?"
Ooh.
Ooh, he switched up on you a little bit.
It up on me. It means the world. Like I don't know what I would do training on a daily basis if he wasn't there. Like it's been very difficult these last couple of months. Cause my father, for those of you who don't know, has had sciatica really bad in his back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made it difficult for him to train. So, you know, some people like give him crap for sitting in the corner, myself included, just doing like kettlebell exercises.
Right. He's there, but, though, everybody. He is there. He shows
there
up
every day,
full gi, belt wrapped, but he's working out.
Yeah, it's an awesome experience to sit there and train with your father on a daily basis. So
for sure. Yeah.
That wasn't easy for Logan to answer.
Like,
I got it for sure.
I know. Yeah, you thought I was going to ask you about someone else.
I was going to give you more than the Mr. Hyman question.
Yeah,
I'm not Logan as cold-hearted as you believe.
Yeah. Logan does have a heart.
Yes. Yeah, everyone out there that's listening that's from the gym, they're like, who is this guy?
I don't know this guy. And what they do with Logan.
Right. Like, that's not the guy that I just rolled with this week. That guy tried to kill me.
That guy was trying to rip my arm off.
Trying to rip my arm off. Beat me
he
over
kept talking about trophies and not the metal ones. But yeah, it's been 11 years of, you know, every week training with him.
Yeah.
So,
not many people have that experience.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
very and we've tried to convince Brian, his father, to come on the show, but he's not a he's not a guy that likes to talk to people. He likes to stay in the corner and work with his kettlebell and wrist lock guys like me.
I can't even get him to teach a class. There was one time where I like, and listen, Brian will help everybody off to the side. He's just not the guy to have the center of the class. Yep. And I needed somebody, like I had something going on. Nobody could cover. He's like, well, I'll open up and just do an open mat. I'm like, that's cool. That's fine. And obviously he will help you. If you ask him a question, he just does not, he doesn't like being in front of everybody. And I get it. It's not for everybody. It's definitely not for everybody.
He's definitely more introverted.
Yeah, for sure.
Myself or mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like polar opposites on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's huge. Go ahead.
Is he upstairs watching Price is Right right now? Probably.
Oh, no. So the Price is Right is over. For those of you who don't know, my father has been retired for the past 2-3 years.
Yeah.
After 27 years of service in law enforcement. And now he sits on the couch watching The Price is Right every day and playing with the dog.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds like good retirement.
Not bad.
He's living his best life right
Absolutely.
now.
Absolutely.
Except for the back thing, he's perfect. He's set.
Yes, he's good to go. And
they're on date night right now.
Oh, nice.
I guess date lunch.
Date lunch, yeah. Cool. And scaring Logan.
Oh,
your dad said, I have to tell a great story of it was pitch black. Brian hid downstairs and Logan screamed and fell on the ground and curled up into a little ball. And he said, jiu-jitsu's not going to save you now or something like that. But I forget.
He told him to get a refund, actually.
He told him to get a refund.
Hey, ask Chad for a refund. Yeah. Well, as some of you can see, there is not a fourth wall in my room. It is
a curtain.
Yeah. If you're only listening now, you should subscribe to our YouTube channel, by the way, if you're only listening, so you can watch our beautiful faces speak this great stuff.
You can put a name to a face.
Yes. You see, there's a curtain.
Finally see the Logan that's been talked about in so many podcasts.
That's right. Yes, exactly. We have. Logan or Trace might be the most two talked about people in the podcast since we
started
the podcast. Like,
everybody that we haven't mentioned it before we go eventually here, Logan is the mouse at Chuck E. Cheese that terrorized Jay, Big Jay.
Yes.
So, we've heard the story. So
we've heard that story.
That is me.
That's awesome.
Back when I graduated high school, that was the first job besides East Coast was Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, that
good
awful place. But
well, we kept you for an hour, man. But you're still not getting off that easy.
No, that's fine. I figured I would.
As I've said many times in the show, people listen to the show, I think it's vital. How much is the Hyman, Mr. Hyman, East Coast Martial Arts, Chad, Pete, two people that's been around you for a very long time. I know there's others. I think Brad probably too, Scarborough, Matt Craddock, obviously been around you for a very long time. How much to some of those guys, obviously Mr. Hyman being the pillar, influenced in stuff that you've done in your life? Because you're young, man, influenced going to school, being able to understand what they would have done or what they would do and how they would carry themselves and handle themselves. How much has that really impacted you? Because we have a lot of guys on the show that obviously I care about greatly, that talk about that. I always put this question on them because I obviously people know this, it's vital for me to actually get this information to people. But you're young and we haven't had anyone on the show that is in your age range that have had some people like this impact them. So at your own discretion, Logan, divulge in how that is, however you want to say it.
Yeah, I don't think I would be on this podcast right now if it weren't for them. I'm not too sure where I'd be in life if, you know, like I'd never started East Coast.
Sure.
Yeah.
As Chad laughs, stop laughing.
But, you know, Mr. Hyman, we'll start with him because he was the greatest, obviously. He, you know, meant so much to so many people. And Chad and I, we had talked about this the other day of, because you guys had just had Brad on and his viewers, you'll have already seen by now and heard Brad's reaction to this question.
Well, not yet. It drops on Monday.
Yeah, but Logan's show is going to be Verlasso.
Yeah, once this.
Oh,
drops.
Gotcha.
That, you know, we all think he's going to keep walk. He's just going to walk through the door one day,
right?
And that's how everybody feels. Like he had such a profound impact on not only the students in his gym, but on martial arts in Ohio as well. Like there was not a bigger pillar of, you know, martial arts at the time in Ohio than Steve Hindman. So he impacted more people than just in the gym.
For sure.
And that's something that not a lot of people today realize. They just see, you know, when you walk in, the belt above the desk, which was his, and they see a couple of photos of, you know, this guy sitting, some dude jumping and kicking.
Yeah, they probably don't know who it is, right?
They just don't understand.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that none of these students, individuals who are training, you know, won't have the opportunity to learn from him. So.
But they do. They do have that
in a roundabout way, yes.
They do. They do in the right way. Greatness is absorbed by other people who are willing to be great and pass that on and not be selfish. And everybody that's ever instructed at East Coast Martial Arts is now a pillar of the first pillar that was built, that Mr. Hindman built. And this is from a person that never got to meet him. But I know this. I'm old enough and I'm mature enough and I understand this and I see it through those who I have had the blessing and opportunity to interact with, yourself, your father, Chad, Pete, you know, Brad. Those type of people have shown that if you're willing to not be selfish and to pay it forward and give all that ability to other people, because in my opinion, only my opinion, I believe that's what Mr. Hindman stood for. He was more concerned about people being great and being great stewards in this life than just being an egotistical person on his own,
for sure.
Which we live in a world where so many people, that's what they want. They want to be famous. They want to be rich. They want it all for themselves. They're not willing to sacrifice and or give it all away. And I've been around enough people now at our gym that goes a long way. So I see it in you all every day. Obviously, when you speak, I know this. I know I ask you these weird questions, even personally talking. I don't really think they're weird. I know a lot of people probably do. About, you know, what are you doing? How's this going? Or how's a job interview going? Or whatever have you, you know, game night or what's this? I'll text you goofy things or whatever. It's because it's important to me to pay that forward as well. And I know that's from you, and Chad is the same way, pushing each other. And I think that's a pillar of what he representative. I know people don't want to hear it constantly, or maybe we beat the dead horse on this show, but it's vital that this legacy is paid forward.
Get used to it.
Yeah, right. Not going get away. Used to it. It ain't going away. I won't allow it. And I sure know that Chad's not going to allow it. So, you know, that's, I think sometimes I do think why, you know, Chad, you know, we came up with the word limitless, and that was Chad texted me and said, why don't we just call it Limitless Radio Cast? And sometimes I feel like there was something in his head that said this, because that's what was built. That's how this was built for him in his martial arts career, and to pass on to you guys, like, be limitless in what you're doing. You know, don't just be stagnant. Don't just be this person that no one wants to be around. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or that people talk about behind your back. So it's obviously a great answer. Obviously, I don't like to spring it on people in terms of emotionally, because I know it's hard for you guys, because you love him forever. It's inevitable. That doesn't go away. And I know it's a hard thing to answer, but I also think it's important for people out there to understand, like, how much someone impacts someone's life, you know.
For sure.
So, yeah.
For sure.
Like, people won't meet him, but they'll meet him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's how I like to portray it, for sure. You know, I know Chad doesn't like to talk about it at all. It's hard.
Not at all.
I know, but it's hard. It's very, very hard when you have someone that means that much to you, that has influenced you that much, and they're no longer there.
For For sure.
It's very hard. The best way I can tell people all the time, though, is to be so proud to take that legacy and to give it to people.
Yep.
Don't be sad about it. Be happy that you're blessed in order to give that information to other people. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest, like when I'm gone, I don't want awards. I don't want anything. I want people to speak that way about myself. Like I want people to go, man, he was selfless. He would give everything away. Like he doesn't care. Like all I want is other people to be successful and better for the best parts. And I think that's what you guys emulate about Mr. Hyman and I selfishness. I'll say selfishness of myself. I think that's why I fit in so well at East Coast too.
Yeah.
You know, so, but Logan, thanks, man. Is there anything you want to shout out? We have you, we're over an hour. Anything you want to shout out now that I put you on a spot and you're like, no, I can't even think straight. Thanks, dude.
You can't even think straight anymore, Terry. But just back to the other, you know, core people of East Coast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You didn't talk about Chadley. I was going to say.
Talk about me.
I knew it.
Like, obviously, the impact that Chad has had has been, you know, monumental in both my life and East Coast just for years. The other guys, you know, Pete Chalk, Matt Craddock, even Brad. We'll toss him a bone.
Even Brad.
You know, Dom Greeny.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Sorry.
And then some of the other guys who don't train at East Coast anymore. Shannon White.
Yep.
Tim Hartzell.
Yeah.
Zach.
Yeah.
Johnny Kress, all those dudes.
Get beat up by all those dudes when you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah, 13 years old, getting beat up by these monsters. And then Shannon being Shannon. And then,
right.
You know, all of those guys embodied, you know, Mr. Hyman and his principles of East Coast. And then it obviously trickles just down. So
sure.
For sure.
You know, all of those guys are super important, like not only to me but to like my journey in general.
Yeah,
for sure.
So again, I don't know, you know, where I'd be if it were not for all of those guys. So probably
that's good,
taking days off, sitting on the mat somewhere, I don't know.
Living in your parents' basement or something.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd live in their parents' basement.
Wait
like
a minute.
Three walls and a curtain?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Greatness breeds greatness, man. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, it is. You want to be great?
Yeah. And
circle yourself with great people.
With that, you know, some people will like, I make it as a joke, but it's not really. Like, I make the joke that I'm the bad guy. Like, I will be, like, when teaching, I'm not afraid to be.
You're the heavy.
The guy. Like, at one point or another, students will be like, I don't like Mr. Mueller. But eventually, you know, one day, I hope, in the future, they'll look back and go, yeah, that was, like, thank you for that.
Right.
So,
like I said, and you coached the right way. You don't, there are people, and this is a pet peeve of mine because I've been coached for a very long time. I love people who coach, but I don't like people who coach the wrong way, who think they're a good coach. Mm-hmm. And there are right ways to do it. People will argue with me, oh, you have to do this. You have to do this. No, you don't. Like there are certain things you do and you do not have to do. And your goal should be being able to teach that person to project them to be better. And then later on in life to understand, and they're going to have that aha moment at some point in life. You don't have to be a butthead. You don't have to be this and that. You know what I mean? Lack of better terms.
Yeah.
Chad. I like that word.
It's like, I'm hard on everyone because like it was a portion of it is, you know, others were hard on me when I was training.
Right? Yeah.
To like make me better. Sure. The other is, I want you to succeed.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes I think that gets lost in translation sometimes.
Right? No, 100%.
Yes, I am very like strict, matter of fact, like we are doing it this way for this reason. Mm-hmm. Whether it's jiu-jitsu, whether it's karate, whether it's, you know, stand up, whatever.
Sure.
So
being hard on someone and being mean to someone in coaching is two different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, let's be honest, especially in our martial arts program with kids, is a lot of people aren't hard on the kids, you know, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I should say hold them accountable for their actions, right?
Great way to say it, Chad.
When kids come in the door, I say it, I know, you know, Logan's big on it. Like, we will say hi. And a lot of kids just walk past us. No eye contact, no nothing. Like, that wouldn't have happened when we came up in martial arts. Like, no,
you
look at who you were talking to and you say hi. It doesn't have to be some big conversation. Just acknowledge that person.
Yeah.
So eye contact is a big thing for me, man. And nobody does it. Nobody teaches it. I don't know if we were taught it or we just did it because we saw others do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Respect, accountability. Yeah. You learn. It's like a learned behavior where it's, you know, like if you're teaching, if you're parenting someone, it's like, hey, I'm looking you in the eye. Like, look me in the eye when we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a firm handshake. It's just a respect type thing.
Yeah.
So I think it has gotten lost over some generations.
Well, the culture we live in too, it's accepted not to be that way. And I'm like, but I'm gonna get killed for this. It's okay to be soft. And I am a strong believer that it's not. And people are like, oh, how do you determine softness by A, B, and C? I can bench 250 pounds. You consider that not being soft? No, you don't understand. My softness and non-softness is looking someone in the eye, shaking their hand, being respectful. Please, thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir. Be accountable for your actions. We are a soft society where we don't do that anymore. We don't appreciate people.
It's not the hard skills that you have in life. It's the soft skills that make you, you know, soft or not soft. Like, I guess that doesn't make sense as much, but like soft skills, like shaking hands, looking somebody in the eye, like those types of speech, like how you present yourself versus, you know, a hard skill, which would be like your max bench. Like,
Does
it make you physically strong? Yes. But does it make you like mentally strong, respectable, you know, member of society?
Yep.
Maybe, maybe not. But
I'd rather have the weakest kid on the team and have great respect, honor to individuals, whether they're the same age, younger than them, older than them, whatever have you, with that kind of stuff, Logan and Chad, that you guys just talked about, than a kid that could go lift 1,000,000 pounds or be the greatest world beater in the world. Like, that's fine. Those people are fine. But if they don't have this, no good. And if this kid over here, you know, plays chess, and I'm not saying that to be mean, just trying to give you a different perspective of a kid lifting and a kid playing a game.
Yeah.
And this kid over here, super respective and, you know, super accountable and so on and so forth. Good. I'm going to take the kid playing chess every day. Give me 100 of them. And they'll be the best in the world because of those reasons, you know?
And if they're not the best in the world, they'll be, you know, the best version of themselves.
They'll be able to, 100%, because they've built that and it's been ingrained.
They'll be able to succeed, you know, wherever they go in life, whether it's, you know, to continue to play chess,
right,
or it's to go and, you know, get some degree and land the biggest job that they wanted in their life.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Great show. Awesome. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, dude. I love talking to you.
I think Logan, what was Troxler saying?
What did Trox say?
I'm pretty sure saying Logan.
He said Logan beats me up all the time. He said Logan beats me up all the time. Pretty much like what Jack just said, what Tom said. That God, he beats the crap out of me. He's very good. He's very sound. But he teaches me a ton. Like Trox.
Both of the people that have been criticized Logan for, they're grown 40-year-old men, just so we know.
There you go. There you go. Logan, they criticize you for being mean.
He's not picking on. Yeah,
not picking on the younger kids.
Well, unless I'm smaller, but it's fine. Yeah,
smaller, but 10 times stronger than you were 5 months ago, 4 months
usually
ago, 3 months
men.
Ago,
maybe a little bit. Yeah. All right.
You got anything, Chad?
No, I appreciate you, Logan. Thanks for coming on and.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think Logan was a little shocked when I texted him. Like, you want to be on the podcast? Like,
yes.
Yeah, no, that's good. The greatest information
as long
comes
as I'm
from
on before
people.
My dad.
Yeah, you don't ever have to worry about that. Your dad's going to be like, I came into the gym on the walker and I still haven't been on the podcast. You're like, well, are you ready to talk?
Yeah, that's not happening.
I teased him this week and said you were coming
on.
And
yeah.
He was like negative. I know, because then I can spring the question of how important, how great is it to have you on the mat with
I know, it'd be great. Yeah. You got to edit that part out so he doesn't hear it.
That's good, man. Appreciate you, brother. I will see you this week. Thanks for everything. Keep doing what you're doing. God bless you and your family and everything, man. If you need anything, obviously hit us up. If there's anything we can help with, as you know, how we roll on this show. This is as real as it gets, people. We are real to the core. There is no fakeness here. Real people sit at our tables. Real people are pouring into us as we will pour into them. So this is limitless. Love you guys. Chad, you good?
I'm good.
All right. Until next week, Logan, appreciate you, man. We'll see you.
Thank you. Take care.
Later.